Hello and welcome to another episode of the Clippers Beat Podcast. It's your host, Nikki Kay. And today, very excited to welcome on ESPN's front office insider, Bobby Marks, who I had initially asked to join the show before Game 5 of the NBA Finals. And only a couple of minor events that just happened to shake up the entire landscape of the league have transpired since then. So, Bobby, thank you for giving some time and insight on all this mess and craziness that's going on.
My pleasure to be on. And yeah, it feels like the game six is and what's happened is kind of secondary compared to the Kevin Durant news and now Anthony Davis. And it seems like we've got a carryover from the trade deadline into the offseason here.
It's a lot going on, and I want to start with the biggest domino to fall, which has been the Kevin Durant ruptured Achilles. What is the sense that you're getting from front offices around the league with Kevin Durant being a red shirt next year? Are they still willing to roll the dice and if he chooses to opt out of Golden State?
Yeah, that is. You know, with the injury happened, you know, of course, during game five, and, you know, Durant had surgery for, you know, ruptured Achilles. But yeah, I mean, the following morning, I just kind of did a little bit of a straw poll around the league, just trying to, you know, see if I was off on that teams would not offer Durant a max contract for, it would be 4 years, $164 million. And the consensus was, yes, teams would be willing to give him that amount, knowing that he will likely be out for the year. And I think teams look at it in two different ways here. It's that, you know, a player like that, a top three player, doesn't come along very often, even though he won't play next year. And if you can get 3 out of 4 years of Kevin Durant, it's certainly worth it. And then teams also looked at the summer of 2020, where there's going to be a steep drop in, players, from free agent standpoint, as far as a drop down there, when we're looking at basically Anthony Davis and Draymond Green and DeMar DeRozan. So if teams have an opportunity to go out and get Durant now, that is still the goal. I think what will happen, though, is that how does that impact other players? You know, other players like Kyrie Irving, who, we've reported that, you know, the goal was for him to kind of attach himself to KD. And now, does that change a little bit knowing that Durant's going to be out? Probably, I would think for the whole year there. I mean, especially on an Achilles.
Yes. Now, considering this is the Clippers podcast, would from what the feelers you've put out, the front office with Jerry West, Steve Ballmer, and the input of Doc Rivers, are they one of those teams who would take a flyer on the talent of Durant, even if it is put on hold for a year?
Well, the Clippers were not one of the teams I did the straw poll on, so okay. I don't want to speak for them. But I think just, you know, from giving my opinion on it, I think how the Clippers have to look at it is two different ways here. A player like Kawhi Leonard is a free agent. That is likely target number one. And then if Kevin Durant is a target number two, to go out and get a player like that, now you have to go out and trade or move players on your roster. A Danilo Gallinari, maybe a Montrezl Harrell or Lou Williams, players like that to clear that room. So what the Clippers have to look at in the next couple weeks here is that, are they willing to move a good player knowing that, you know, a player like Durant is going to sit for a year? And I think if I was the Clippers, yes, I think that is probably the mindset that I would want to do there, because as I said, you will get Kevin Durant, for 3 years here, you know, the last 3 years of his contract. Cap space is great to have in 2020, but as I said, there's not a great crop of players out there. So it's a little bit different than a team like Brooklyn has two slots. They can just kind of slide a Kyrie and a Kevin in. They don't really have to do much. And the same with the Knicks, where the Clippers have to move something to be able to create flexibility.
With that news taking headlines, now we've got the Anthony Davis trade ramping up. The Lakers and Celtics have seemed to emerge as front runners in conversations with New Orleans. Have the Clippers fizzled out in your feelings from what you've heard around the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Clippers and the Nets are kind of comparable here. It's a matter of how much do you want to give up. And free agency and acquiring a player in trade is so much different. You know, free agency, it's a clean process. You're basically just paying that player that money here. Where when in a trade, and you've seen it, especially at the trade deadline, is that you are moving a lot. You're moving players. You're moving draft picks. So the likelihood is that your team probably gets a little bit your depth gets weakened here. So when you look at what the Clippers have to offer, and yes, they have those two picks they acquired in the Tobias Harris trade of Philadelphia first in 2020 and then that Miami first in 21. Who on your roster are you willing to give up? And you know, I think it would be hard for them to give up a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is certainly probably your point guard of the future here. And then it's a matter of what else would New Orleans like as far as, you know, Lou Williams and Harrell. So if you're acquiring Anthony Davis, your roster is going to be significantly different here.
Yep.
So I think the Clippers are kind of in the background here. Could that change if the Lakers and the Celtics fall out of the mix? Certainly it can. But for the indication right now is that they're kind of them and Brooklyn are kind of on the outside looking in.
By your estimations, when do you think this Anthony Davis trade can happen as soon as?
Well, I think you saw on Wednesday there was, you know, the reports with Boston and the Lakers now engaged with this New Orleans. And it's a big difference than what we saw at the trade deadline where the Pelicans kind of drew a line in the sand and weren't ready to budge. Where if you are David Griffin in New Orleans and you had a basketball operations, you have the draft next Thursday, the 20th. If you are acquiring the fourth pick in the draft from the Lakers, or, you know, picks 14, 20, and 22 from the Celtics, you want to be in control of who you are picking, and certainly you want to have a meeting or, you know, with that player before the draft occurs here. So it's a little bit of an artificial timeline or deadline that New Orleans has as far as to do that. And then you're looking at, like, this weekend, you know, Saturday or Sunday, to try to get some type of framework of a deal in place, maybe even earlier next week. If this lingers here, then it gets a little bit more challenging because to say that, whoever the Lakers pick might not be the liking of what New Orleans wants. So that's why you're seeing this process speed up a little bit. And, we've heard about a third team, trying to get a third team to divert maybe Alonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram or even that fourth pick for New Orleans to get an all-star level player. And that presents a lot of challenges just based on you look at the league and, you know, we've got, I think, 40 to 45% are free agents. So you take them off the board and now we're looking at, 60% that can be traded. And to try to get an all-star plus, and a guy that's under contract for 2 to 3 years is going to probably present an obstacle through the Pelicans.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it feels a little sleazy making this comparison, but at this point when teams are looking to accomplish these deals prior to the draft, it's almost like the picks are kind of like new cars, right? They lose value immediately after you drive them off the lot or after you make that pick. So right now, you're right.
And that's a great analogy. And it's like, John Morant at Murray State, already has a minor knee stuff. And I think he's going to be a heck of a player, but it's like going to buy a Mercedes and then you drive it off and all of a sudden you get a flat tire. it's funny, like, Lonzo Ball 2 years ago was the darling of the draft, right?
Yep.
You know, he was a top three pick coming out of UCLA. Everyone loved his size. But now it's like 2 years in, and yes, he's had some injuries, and now the luster of Lonzo Ball is not there right now. Once we think so highly of these draft prospects right now, and we'll think highly of them in the summer. But once the season starts, it's like, okay, what's next?
Exactly. No, and it's, Markelle Fultz is kind of like the in terms of Well, I guess it's too early to call to rule him as a bust, but it like you said, it is the darling, the emojis with the hard eyes, and then all of a sudden, like as soon as season gets underway, it's kind of all right. How do we improve our roster again? You know, so I know you've spent time writing in detail about what each of the 30 front offices need to do and prioritize this offseason. If you had to make a to-do list for the Clippers front office, what is it?
Well, I think they've, you know, how we kind of broke down the Clippers was there was a blueprint that Lawrence Frank and Mike Winger, Jerry West certainly, and Steve Ballmer, their owner, when they kind of took over this, that how they saw them, how they were going to shape this roster out. And you saw a little bit of that last year as far as how well they played and kind of a, you know, blue collar mentality, a starless team that was able to win, you know, 40 plus games and push the Warriors. And now it's on to what's next. And they put themselves in position to have a max slot, or they put themselves in a position to retain some of their own players here. So I think if you're the Clippers, yes, your goal is to go out and target an all-star, an all-NBA player, certainly a Kawhi Leonard. We'll see what happens with Kevin Durant there to add in there. And you can do that based on the flexibility you have and not got the roster. And also try to bring back Patrick Beverley, which I do think is a priority here. So I think that's kind of step one in this process here. I think the fascinating thing will be, and not just with Clippers is, and with a lot of these teams, is that, you know, we have a lot of teams that have money, but we have, you know, only a few of these teams are going to be able to get these players.
Yeah.
So what is that plan B? What's that contingency? If you do miss out on somebody, do you go out and sign players to one or two of your contracts and have flexibility in 2020? But the Clippers are well positioned. You know, even if somehow they do miss out in free agency, I still expect this team to be back in good shape. Still have the financial flexibility, still have the draft assets to go out and get a deal done if they need to.
All encouraging signs. I know time and time again, the one thing we hear out of Kawhi Leonard's camp, despite being connected to the Clippers somehow, is that we don't really know anything that Kawhi is thinking or saying. Have you had any pulse on what will happen with his future regardless of the outcome in Toronto?
Well, it's funny. We usually know about everyone, right?
Yep.
We know we think we know what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving. He's being linked to, you know, Brooklyn. We think we know it's, you know, we don't, you know, with Kevin Durant now, is it Golden State or maybe the Knicks or even Brooklyn, but with Kawhi, we don't know anything.
Yep,
we really
don't.
And he's been quiet there. And I think, you know, I don't buy the notion that if Toronto wins a championship, that gives them a better advantage than other teams here. I think what will convince Kawhi Leonard to stay in Toronto is basically how they sell him on what this team could look like in the future. And,
yeah,
and it's not 2019-21, you have Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, and Marc Gasol in their contract. It's basically what's next in 2020 when yourself and Pascal Siakam are the last players on this roster. And does he have trust in Masai Ujiri, their head of basketball operations, to build out the roster? And Masai has done a great job with Siakam, who they drafted in the late 20s, Fred VanVleet was undrafted, Norman Powell in the second round here. So I think that will come down to it a lot. But the, you know, the ability to in-house recruit is very powerful. You know, they've had Kawhi for a year, similar to what Paul George did here.
Yep.
So he's got that comfort level with the medical staff. You know, they've done a great job kind of, you know, taking a player who missed most of his last year into now, you know, someone who is, you know, on the verge of, you know, being named MVP in the finals here.
As someone who's been entrenched in the front office side of things, what human nature, do you try and take cues from the players you're hoping to convince to keep around? Where does your hope lie as an executive, and how do you not let yourself get too persuaded in one way or the other, or keep a realistic head on your shoulders if you are Masai Ujiri?
I think you have to have the realistic expectation that free agency is the land of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And it is a process, unlike the draft, where you are picking the player. Here, the player is picking you. And although you might think you are going to re-sign that player or have a good chance of re-signing that, I think you have to be prepared for a doomsday scenario of kind of what's next if a Kawhi Leonard does not come back. Does that mean you are going to trade some of your players? Are you going to retool? So that is why you have to have, you know, so many contingency plans in effect, where the one thing you do not want to have is a knee-jerk reaction to what happens. So yeah. if you are the Clippers and you miss out on these free agents and you're sitting there with $45 and $50 million in cap space, well, you need to rely on your principles of how you got there. And that's not going out and signing, you know, C-list free agents to 3-year, $30 million contracts, and now you're kind of back to square one before Lawrence and Mike took over. So I think that's how you weigh it. I know that there is an expectation level because there's the buildup. We certainly do a good job of buildup of free agency and what to expect for teams. But I think if you can kind of block out the noise a little bit and kind of stick with your principles, I think you'll be fine. And trust that, you know, what you have on the roster is good enough. And then maybe you just go out and hit singles or doubles in free agency.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to hit it out of the ballpark, and getting on base will do just fine. Now, I know we like to speculate, saying, hey, what's this front office plan B? But in reality, from your experience, how many different contingency plans are there really going on all levels? I mean, I've got to imagine you have, like, if this, then that sort of tree branch scenarios mapped out when you're in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have a bunch of different depth charts that you're looking at, and if you are able to get Kawhi Leonard, okay, what's next? You know, what do we do with the $20 million left in cap space to kind of, you know, do we go out and sign Patrick Beverley? Do we go out and fill out do we need a center kind of, and where do the pieces fit? And then compared to, you know, what is the roster look like without an all-star here? So, yeah, you have a lot of different contingencies. You also have to kind of keep that line of communications with your own free agents too.
Yeah.
And the Clippers have they have a bunch with Beverly and with Wilson Chandler and players like that, and JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple. Yeah. So it's not like you cannot all of a sudden not pay attention to them. And then all of a sudden you missed out, and it's like, well, you know, wait a minute, we want you back. You have to treat, if you have interest in those free agents, you have to treat them like you have interest in those free agents. Yep. And I think that's where the communication level comes with. If it's Mike or Lawrence, where Mark Bartleson is the agent for Derek Temple, and you have to be honest with him. This is where we're going, but we would love to have Garrett back if this is kind of where we go for plan B here. The same with Patrick Beverley and his agent, Bill Duffy, is that we would love Patrick back, but here are the guys we're kind of targeting here. If you can kind of stay in a little bit of a holding pattern until we know what we're going to do, that would be great. And that's where a lot of the relationship building between the agent and the front office comes to.
Yes. It sounds like, a constant headache, if you ask me. No, but also a lot of excitement at the same time with all the possibilities. Just dominoes need to fall as they can and will. And that also begins with, I do think things will become clearer as we approach free agency. Do you expect a lot of decision-making to be done once again within the first 5-6 days after June 30th?
I do. I mean, you see how it goes. I mean, it's like kind of rapid fire, right?
Yeah.
I mean, fortunate for us now that at least us on the East Coast, is that it's now 6 o'clock on June 30th.
And
we don't have to roll out of Bristol, out of the campus here at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and then turn around and do it again at like 7 or 8 in the morning.
Oh,
so
brutal.
I think it could go two ways here. I think we saw in the summer of 2010 when, you know, when the Big Three was formed, that process lingered, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't make a decision until July 6th or 7th, and the NBA kind of was in a holding pattern here, where now we saw certainly last year that guys come off the board really quick. And, yeah, I think the 30th will be designed, and even probably part of the first will be for the meetings for these marquee free agents. And then I expect that the dominoes will start to fall. But so, yes, I think I don't see this process lingering past the 4th of July.
Yeah, I think what was it last year, Paul George and Russell Westbrook were having their party like the night before free agency even began. So that set the tone quickly and surefire in that sense. Now, do you have any predictions for these NBA finals? We're on the morning of game 6 here. Do you think the Raptors wrap it up, or are we going to get a game 7?
Well, my predictions went out the window when I picked Golden State in 5 games.
Oh.
So you can throw that out the window. But that was based on Clay playing the whole series, and I thought KD would come back somewhere around game 3 or 4. But I think when you look at this series here, I think Toronto is the better team.
Yeah.
But Golden State has the heart. I mean, I think, and they proved that in game 5 when they were down, 6 with you know, 3 minutes left here. So I think on paper, the depth of Toronto is a lot better here, but you're playing a game 6, the last game ever in Oakland. How much does momentum from game 5 carry over here? So I do think Toronto closes them out in a game 6 here, but of course you can never deny what this Golden State team has done.
It's been a wildly dramatic NBA Finals, and surprisingly, a lot of the drama has had nothing to do with the game being played on the court. But a really, really thrilling couple of weeks here for the NBA. Bobby, where can listeners find your work, follow you, give me some handles and plugs?
So on Twitter, it's at BobbyMarks42, and then you can find everything on ESPN or on ESPN Plus. And then we will have a draft show next Tuesday night on ESPN2, and then we'll have a lead up on Wednesday night on ESPN a draft show, and then of course the main draft starting, I believe, 7:30 on ESPN on Thursday, June 20th, and then we'll go right into free agency from there.
Love it. I love listening to all your draft analysis prior to and during. It's going to be an exciting one here. Bobby, with excellent insight, as always, thank you so much for joining. And to all the listeners out there, make sure you go follow him and read his work. You will be well prepped for the wild NBA drama that is to come. And thank you for listening to the Clippers Beat podcast. You can find this pod wherever you get your pods at or at clnsmedia.com.